Oops. Welcome everyone. Welcome to IPledger's Security Update Task Force. And before we get started, please make sure you have read through IPledger antitrust policy, which states that all these meetings and discussions that we are having are in public forum, and then we have to behave accordingly in public setup. So with that, let's get started with the discussion for today. I know in previous meetings, we wanted to go through and then probably start writing down or putting down possible threats across different areas, or I would say different categories that we come up with. So we'll probably start from there. I know this was put up
Arun, do you want to go ahead and merge your changes in?
Oh, sure. I was not sure how to do that. So should we go ahead and merge all the proposals that come in, or do we say when proposal is raised?
It's up to you. It's up to you all. But I gave you all permission, I think. So you all should have permissions on the repo.
Agree. So Hart, I would suggest we probably go through the updates that were made on the paper in this call, and that would trigger some more ideas on thought process on what else to be included in the threat section. And I don't see it as an exhaustive list. I still see there is possibility for us to think through.
Absolutely.
And add more.
Yeah, I totally agree. But you should push in your changes, though.
Yeah, I will do it right away.
Hi.
Hart, you need to resend some invites. My invite expired because I didn't accept it before it switched repos.
Okay. Well, it should have a. I gave TSC members access, or at least it was that was. I checked the box that said it would do that. So.
My Git push doesn't like me.
Oh, okay.
My guess is you. What you need to do is push to a branch, and then it's probably hitting the DCO sign off.
Might be.
So
I am pushing to a branch.
I don't know. Fork it to your repo and then do the thing and then make a PR. Heck, I don't know.
Yeah, I've got a fork.
I hate GitHub.
Yeah, but what works better? For some reason,
the fork route.
Yeah. Okay. It's also not going to perfectly compile because. It seems to hate my bib files. For some reason, they didn't copy. Rye, did you add anything that... never mind.
It compiles for me, though.
Oh, but the bib fails, though. So if you try BibTeX, it'll compile just the bib fails.
Oh, okay.
So I just need to put the bib back in. I think that's all four of them. Oh, really? It's just the... that's weird. Just doesn't like the crypto bib headers.
So coming back to where we or what points we would like to discuss in this call is probably let's go through some of the threats that were added in the past weeks. So Hart, you had something to comment?
No.
So I think it's easy for us to think through common threats. Let's say we don't need to really be that hard. So I guess I took this inspiration from Hart. So all you have to do is probably think in terms of how do you break the system, which works for somebody, right? So just think all possible ways of breaking the system in whatever possible manner it is possible from you. And when you also think in terms of how to break the system, look into these parameters. So I, again, went into these three parameters, confidentiality, integrity, and availability. So let's say I have a blockchain network. How do I break it so that it's no longer available for anybody to use? Or let's say I have one of the project that heavily uses, let's say, a key for all its transactions and make sure integrity is protected of the transactor and also integrity of the block itself, right? Is there a possibility where somebody could come in and do some manipulations and try to disregard what was already done? In terms of confidentiality, let's say a project claims to be having private transactions happening, but there is a real possibility of there is no confidentiality as it is claimed in the documentation. I guess that's captured in one of the threats already. But I would say if you keep thinking in these terms, it would become more evident that you could keep adding more and more points. And then we could possibly aggregate them into buckets. Even if you don't know where exactly to put them, it's okay to write them down in the initial run so that we at least captured all the thought process and go from there. Yeah. Hart, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, I just agree. What we want to do.
Stream of consciousness thoughts okay?
Sorry?
Stream of consciousness thoughts okay?
Yeah, absolutely. So we want to do a first draft where we just like think of all the possible things, right? Mm-hmm. And then then what we're going to do is we're going to say, well, let's like group together, right? Or let's think of how we can package these more nicely, right? Because some of them will have a lot of things in common, right? And then we can say, well, like, let's think about prioritizing these, like what's more important, what's less important, you know, this kind of thing, right? Does that sort of make sense as a high level process to everybody?
Does, but some of the things don't fit into nice, neat little boxes, and maybe that's because we need to create, I don't know, new types of threads. So one I'm thinking of is the one I did the PR that I just pushed with my fork. But it's attacks on operational systems using things that might be bugs or things that might not be to force chain splits and chain halts. And I mean, it might just be a restatement of other types of threats, but the way that it surfaces, I think, is fairly unique in the motivations for why you want to do it. Almost make it a new attack surface, because at least in the public networks, if you can make it misbehave for a certain window of time and get your stuff off of an exchange, then let it merge and get your money back, the types of bugs that would enable that, kind of feed into it, because that's, you know, the end game of what you're doing with it. But what they might be doing is you might be exploiting a minor bug in one of the math libraries to cause consensus to break. But the end game is some higher level, you know, stability of the network attack. So I don't know how we want to, you know, because that's kind of a threat that works on multiple levels, because you got to exploit a code flaw. Maybe you got to inject the code flaw, and then you got to get it into an operating system and manipulate it in an operating system in a particular way. And that impacts issues like when you find this math error that is going to be consistent between versions, how do you share that information? How do you make sure that it's not exploited? And I guess that's, you know, another thing that gets into new things is, I mean, yeah, the whole Patch Tuesday thing works great and the coordinated release, but when it's a live system, the stakes are higher, and the coordinated release isn't just, you know, give everyone in the world it. you would give select people the fix who are running the consensus nodes. Then you would release the code. Then you would tell the world in that order. You make sure that the operational systems are fixed, because these are, it's not like a server in a mail room where it's, you know, someone's going to be using it to just do their mail. Because another aspect of this particular class of flaw is one way to think of it as a penalty of failure is higher, because you can't just roll back a public chain and say, well, we screwed that up, roll back 3 days data and play it all back. People have moved on and finalized it, versus in a mail room, you can just resend all the mail that was missed 3 days ago. So it's, I don't know quite how it fits into these models, but those are the types of security threats that I see in public chains that I haven't really seen in any other systems. I guess those would be infrastructural threats, but it comes down to how do you mitigate it and how do you react to it that changes the nature of it.
Yeah, I mean, these are all good things to think about, right? I mean, we just want to get sort of everything on paper in some form, right? And then we can start to think about how these are related or how we might mitigate them, right? Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, maybe there's a new section on mitigation strategies.
Well, we're eventually going to get there, right?
Right.
But we want to like build, we want to define like what security is before we show that something is secure, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a problem that, you know, you see a lot in people that, you know, want to talk about security but maybe aren't as experienced, is they try to say or argue or prove security without saying what it is first, right?
Right.
So our goal here is to say what security is, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what we're trying to do here, right?
Artem, you want to say something? Sorry,
go ahead.
Yeah, so I just wanted to make to the point that you know, even before defining what the security is, I would also try to define what exactly we are trying to achieve. What are we trying to protect here, or what are we trying to have as a solution? So, I went through this document and I saw that, you know, we are trying to also the guard and save the process of developing open source projects within HyperRager. We would like to make sure that the outcome of the development is also secure in a way that, you know, the best practice has been implemented, and we are not our projects from, you know, within HyperRager is not introducing a new vulnerabilities. We're trying to kind of accommodate and have everything of this, like, you know, have a pretty rigorous CI/CD pipeline, and protecting the binary outcomes, images, like, you know, Fabric. We are releasing Docker images, and, you know, we never would like to make sure that they are protected by some signatures. Like, I know that there is some project called running by Red Hat called Sigstore. There you can basically safely sign your binaries, and then everyone will be able to also verify it. I think they're using something pretty similar to the blockchain. But, you know, I would rather try to formulate what are we trying to protect is a final, like, you know, the end goal of the exercise that we are doing before even defining what is the security is.
So I think defining, so that's a good point. From my perspective, what you described, like, what are we trying to protect, is sort of defining security. So, like, if your security definition doesn't say what you're trying to protect, then it's kind of a bad security definition, right? At least that was my opinion. Maybe I did a bad job of explaining it. Does that kind of answer your question, Artem? or address your comment.
I wasn't asking a question. I was making a comment to your previous point, and I agree with you. But there are several layers of definition of security, and that's, you know, you might broad a kind of, you know, an umbrella, the broader definition of what security means, and then you know, trying to decompose it on a lower layer, trying to define which pieces of your process you are trying to secure, right? So I'm trying to see it in a structured and in a layered way of, okay, saying this is the security, these are components that we would like to protect, this is the processes, best practices, like signing containers, introducing linters to make sure that no vulnerability had been introduced with new commit, or for example have a source code or third party dependency scans that make sure that there is no one imports any vulnerable third party library into the project. Like, you know, there is a whole set of a lot of things that they've been implemented, but I'm just trying to divide it into the pieces that, you know, we can then address each of these separately. Does it make sense? Or
yeah. So I mean, you were talking a lot about mitigations there. So, you know, I was hoping we would think about, you know, threats and security definitions before we sort of like got to mitigations. Just to sort of make sure that, you know, the mitigations covered everything. And I mean, this is something I've seen that happens a lot in practice with when people just try to like slap fixes on a problem, on, you know, they just throw solutions at a problem rather than thinking about sort of what the problem is, then the solutions don't always match up to the problem. And you have issues. And this was especially true for me with stuff like privacy and confidentiality. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally makes sense.
Awesome. So, I agree. You know, we want to layer things. This is a huge problem, and we want to separate out. We want to separate things out into manageable chunks, right?
That's, I think, the way to go forward. I mean, you know, the whole security thing is one big, huge project, and obviously we won't be able to do everything at one chunk. So we will have to cut it into the pieces and make a progress step by step. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. And that was the goal here, is we would think about sort of the threats, right? Sorry, Kamlesh, you should definitely talk next. Do you want to go ahead?
No hard to go ahead. I will attack it.
We should think about the threats. And that was another goal of this exercise, is we can think about the threats. We can group them, and then we can prioritize, right? We can say, well, this is the most critical thing, and we need to like solve this first, that kind of thing, right? So I'm agreeing with you further, Artem. And Kamlesh, would you please go ahead?
I agree with what Artem saying. Like, suppose what is the outcome and deliverables out of this security task force? Like finding threat and identifying where is the security gap in the Hyperledger projects. That is the one thing. And then what the task force will do is a defined is a implementation also. Is a program code-based implementation or also some best practices. So I think this thing we can define, like outcome of this TSC task force will be like this will be deliverance. So and then because I tried to go through it but not able to contribute like what is the outcome and how we're going to take this forward. I think this is the thing we should define.
So that's a great question. So I had envisioned a couple of things Sorry, did someone else want to talk? I didn't see a hand, but so I had envisioned.
I guess it was just a background noise. Sorry.
No worries. So I had envisioned like a security recommendations coming out of this. You know, some kind of document that outlined some best practices that need to be followed, some specifications. You know, one of the things that we discussed internally that we might want this to solve is, you know, how do we allocate as Hyperledger resources for security audits, right? You know, we probably can't fix, particularly for issues that affect lots of different projects, we probably can't fix all of those. And we, you know, although we have maintainers from a lot of projects on this call, we probably can't, like, you know, force projects to accept changes. So I don't know how much code stuff is in scope of this task force. You know, but if people want to get to that level, you know, I don't think anyone would be opposed. Did that answer your question, Kamlesh?
Yeah, I think I agree. But I think I just got the incident, like, I think Arun also aware, like someone in our Hyperledger India chapter is even company implementing a Hyperledger fabric open source Docker images. And they concern about the security audit they have done. And like, they approach to the Hyperledger team, like, who is the responsible of this security thing, like Hyper. So I think whether the code is not a scope of this task force, but what could be the maybe involvement of the other Hyperledger projects at the end of this TST task force to go through the best practices and recommendations which we defined in the paper, right?
Yeah.
And they should try to check it, what could be done and implement, and how can they ensure for the end user, consumer, like, this is the already tested Hyperledger project.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we can even tell them, right? We can say like, hey, you're not doing X and you need to be doing it, right?
Yeah, right.
So like, we can issue, you know, like, you know, we can say that, like, hey, this needs to be done. And then, like, you know, we don't necessarily have to implement it. And some things there may be open-ended ways to do a solution that, and you know, the projects may not want a fixed way of doing things. But yeah, I mean, that look, and this is sort of what I thought we want to do here. If anybody has you know, other ideas, you know, if you think this isn't going to work, or if you think other ways will work better, like, please feel free to speak up. I have a lot of bad ideas. So shoot them down when you see them.
No, I think that idea is good. I think what are the first identifying threats and security gaps, then implementing or kind of recommendation. That is, I think, right thing to do as a starting point.
Okay. So, I mean, I draw a conclusion from this. What I'm starting to think, at least now, is after running these many things, we initially started security task force update thinking in terms of what is the current process followed at Hyperledger and what can be improved over there. But eventually it turned out to be that, hey, we have to also focus on and be prepared to deal with some of the things that other open source projects have probably not met, or they have not defined like thought through some of these concepts. And that's how probably it got, the scope kept growing bigger and bigger, right? So I see a gap there in terms of what exactly, like, many people are still asking, how can they get involved and what are we defining security as? So probably let's put a brief agenda for the task force. I know that security itself is bigger than the task force. I mean, let's take it down in steps, right? So let's say, probably we'll add a deadline saying that, hey, by April, this is what we are trying to achieve as part of task force. And maybe by May, we will focus on next set of things. So I guess I agree with you, Hart. So probably we should continue focusing on the threats. And when we think of threats, I also see what the point that Artem mentioned. We will put that in the agenda of, hey, what is our objective of security and how do we define security itself as, so that we can start thinking about threats on those on those objectives, right? So let's define that. I see a gap, and yeah, we can do that. It's a good point to bring up.
So I just wanted to make a point to the previous comment from Kalesh that with respect to the actual implementation, so I think the outcome of the task force is supposed to be a set of kind of recommendation that is the active project that running in HyperRegio will have to align with the set of recommendations in order to fulfill that, you know, the security standards models and make sure that we addressing all the threats. Like, you know, we have a lot of these procedures while a project's reporting back the statuses. And I believe that, you know, once we will have that set of recommendations, we will just need to make sure that a project been implementing these procedures, you know, because I cannot see how we can you know implement it within the task force that set of recommendations. So what exactly we're going to implement here?
So Artem, your question is about what, or your comment, I should say, is about the actionability of the task force?
No, I was saying, because I was kind of under impression that Kamesh is actually alluding to the fact that we will, you know, after we finish the work, we will implement pieces of the outcomes of that, you know, of the task force. And I was saying that, in my opinion, that we will, you know, the outcome of the task force will be the set of recommendations, and you know, we might bring them back to the TEC meetings, just to make sure that people is in alignment and agreement, and you know, then we can make other projects under the HyperLedger umbrella, just to implement those recommendations. So that's kind of a general comment, right? It's not really a question. It's just, you know, comment or suggestion of what we are trying to achieve and what should be the final kind of outcome of the exercise what we are trying to do in task force.
I agree, Artem. So right. So as a task force, we are here to recommend and find out the gaps, or probably tell what can be done, and implementation is a later question. And if it, I mean, that's the later part, the fruitness of all this. I would say, if there are no other comments on the agenda, I mean, the topic itself, in terms of, hey, what are we doing in the task force? Probably let's start thinking in terms of, so given the broad categories that Hart suggested initially, thinking in terms of there is infrastructure level threats, and there is architecture level threats, and then there could be implementation security issues at the implementation. So looking at this whole process, so initially also, if you look at the initial paragraph, so probably Art tries to capture it in a gist, trying to say that when we talk about open source projects, it's broad scope, broad scoped And the focus should not be just on the implementation, but also on how we deliver the software, how we protect the rest of the infrastructure as well. So going by that understanding for now, right? So, and making it relevant to open source development as well as blockchain technology, let's start thinking and thinking about the threats, right? So, I mean, when I hear the word infrastructure threats, and correct me if I get it differently, I hear things such as, hey, where is my code located, or what is my build process and what is my release process looking like? How am I protecting my my binaries, and how do I ensure that nobody is able to duplicate and then claim that, I mean, impersonate as if they are releasing official softwares? And so these are some of the questions. And I would also put things such as, am I leaking some of my secret information through this infrastructure, right? Or am I setting proper permissions so that we are accountable as a community? So these are some of the aspects that would come to my mind when I start thinking in terms of infrastructure. Any comments and thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
that's all good point. And actually, I also have, so sorry for interrupting you, heard that. So sorry, didn't drink. But I have a question. So shouldn't we also align this task force work with OpenSSF, Open Security Group? That, you know, there is, I think it's running under Linux Foundation, Open Source Security Foundation, OpenSSF, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it's OpenSSF. Yeah. So shouldn't we also align to this kind of activities?
So I will say we already are. So I've been talking extensively to Brian, and so obviously, you know, Brian is in charge of the OpenSSF, right?
Yep.
So I have been talking with him and I believe it's Dan, extensively about this. We are aligned. The main issue with OpenSSF is OpenSSF is primarily focused on sort of the weakest parts of the open source security. So their main goal is to find the weakest links of things. Like find the critical software where no one is paying attention to security and make sure that gets fixed. We don't want to be the weakest link in the chain in the open source community, right? We need to be considerably stronger. So my thought is, and you know, this is something that I've discussed with the OpenSSF people, is that we're almost more of an upstream, this security task force is almost upstream compared to OpenSSF, where if we find things, we should tell them, because from their perspective, there's like much more low hanging fruit than what we're doing. Did that answer your question, Artem?
Completely. Thank you. I wasn't aware of that.
So yeah. I want to make a further. I want to make a further clarification that one other of our TSC members, Arnaud, is spending a lot of time on OpenSSF. I'm not going to say that it's his primary focus, but he I've talked to him a lot, and he is spending a lot of time on OpenSSF. So exactly as Hart said, like Hyperledger's experience is informing the development of OpenSSF as it moves forward. But of course, if they get input from someone else, we should, you know, we should take advantage of that.
Okay, thank you, Ollie.
Yeah, so whatever we document here, we will definitely send to them and probably have a meeting with them, right? But yeah, it's a good point, Artem, and we have been and will continue to address it. Kamlesh.
I think I have a question to Arun. So I think from the infrastructure perspective, I think the definition of the infrastructure is not as in convinced. Like, are we also considering the into what kind of infrastructure the Hyperledger frameworks deployed or running, or what kind of infrastructure? The same infrastructure or something else? The Hyperledger infrastructure. What?
Go ahead.
No, Art, you would be right person. I was all about to say that when we talk about infrastructure from Hyperledger perspective or from this scope, it's so deployment is the later point, right? So what where we are is before we even deliver the software or during that software delivery process. So everything that encompasses, including GitHub or the let's say if we are using Azure pipelines for doing something, all that kind of things. Sorry, Hart. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you did a great job answering the question.
Yeah, I got it, Arun. The infrastructure, what Hyperledger uses for hosting code and hosting binaries and whatever the process is.
Right. So how do we want to do this? Like discuss through some of the points put in here, or do you want to bring up some random points and then we say, oh, this are not put in here? I would say do that. I mean, when infrastructure comes to you, what kind of threats do you think is possible? Yeah.
Sorry, who's that? Artem, go ahead.
Yeah, then you say infrastructure threats, and you know, in context of open source development, I think it's, you know, the whole supply delivery chain of the binaries on you know of the software that you've been developing, like, because there is no real infrastructure. It's not like you're developing proprietary code within your on premises and open source is either located on GitHub or GitLab or Bitbucket, right? But we, you know, in particular, us Hyperledger, everything is a GitHub. So yeah, our security infrastructure basically secured with Microsoft, whatever they are doing there, right? So we only think that we can take care of is basically implementing the right practices for continuous integration, continuous delivery, implementing or providing the proper linters to make sure that there is no vulnerability has been introduced or felt vulnerability or, you know, exploits been implemented or inputted by through the third party libraries. And the last part, I think that, you know, we would like to make sure that the binaries, the outcome of the CI/CD of, you know, of whatever we are trying to do is basically authentic, so we can implement some signing process that makes sure that, you know, people who is actually using the software, the end binary, is basically aware of what exactly they have at hand, right? So that's in my opinion, the, you know, the infrastructure threats that they have to address. So, you know, malicious developers, I think it's a good point there, just to make sure that no vulnerabilities or third party threats been pulled into the software. Software delivery man in the middle, so you know, just make sure that there is no injection or there is no bugs in our pipeline that basically allow someone to exploit and inject a vulnerable code. For instance, like, you know, we in Fabric, we deliver binaries for the or picking them into the Docker. But if our pipeline is being exploited and someone is actually able to inject anything into the container, that we might have a problem. This is the phrase that I see while speaking on infrastructure and in context of open source projects.
Yeah, Peter.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So do we want to explicitly exclude physical threats, such as someone literally broke into my data center, put a Raspberry Pi on my network, and now they have access to that?
So, no, I think we should include this. Whether you want to include this as an infrastructural threat or an implementation threat is up for debate. But I think there have been a number of so-called distributed blockchains where a single cloud service going out has completely stopped the blockchain from running, right? That would certainly be a threat to me, right? If everyone hosts their nodes on the same cloud service. And that might be a less, like, that's even happened, right? We've seen this happen.
It's an implementation. It's
sure. Yeah.
It's a threat. It's a warning kind of notice that we should be giving. It's a warning to me. Or probably a bad choice, I don't know.
I'm flexible on where to put it. I really just wanted to clarify if we even want to list it, or do we just want to put it as an assumption that physical intrusion will not happen.
Peter, anything, don't assume anything. If like, assumptions come later, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, then I can try and put some of this down into the paper.
Yeah. Dano, I merged your PR. But you, in the future, you should. Sorry, what?
A little rambling on it, but in the future, I should.
Just merge yourself.
I couldn't. I couldn't push the merge button.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll check the settings on the repo.
Yeah, some weirdness is happening. Your changes aren't showing. I can't pull your changes locally, but it could just be GitHub being weird. We'll figure it out.
I will point out, I know this is probably redundant since all of us probably live on Hacker News every day and are reading every little thing that comes along. But pretty much every day this week, GitHub has had terrible operational problems. So it would not surprise me at all if it was still having terrible operational problems.
They are.
Speaking,
the CI has been frozen for days.
The bots aren't running, the CI is not running. It's terrible.
This is an infrastructural security threat, right?
Yep.
So this is a threat of probably one server dependency that you just called out.
Our operations
is not distributed.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to also call out this insufficient testbed setup available for open source projects. So there is inherent assumption that many of the project teams make that they may not have a proper testbed setup. They may not have tested all the scenarios. But I have seen in some of the Hyperledger project itself where the companies that implement this, they would come back and say, hey, my blockchain stopped working after, let's say, producing these many blocks. And I can't seem to figure out what's really happening, right? And yeah, there could be some some potential issues that people can exploit, but it's not clearly visible to maybe naked eyes, and maybe we need certain scenarios to be executed in certain conditions. So how do we, I mean, that's a threat to me.
Yeah, insufficient tests is definitely a threat. One of the things that, you know, we can think about of this is we can, like, if we have like a sufficient description of threats, then we can use that to inform a sufficient description of test cases, right?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, you know, obviously nothing's perfect, but you know, we could, we can offer some recommendations, right?
So, I mean, probably we can also recommend, and so I know reproducibility is a tough thing to expect when the implementation goes in. From that perspective, we need additional information. I don't know if we can define some process that would let, I mean, that would let us collect more information about the, about that issue. But I've seen such things happening. And one more common issue that I see many people follow is they probably, I mean, improper usage of source version control management itself, right? So they push some secrets directly into the repository.
Yeah.
So in terms of architecture, I know, I mean, if we, if there are any other comments on the infrastructure, I would also say, let's keep this open in a way that, let's also do offline thought. I mean, it's all about thinking process, right? So just think through all possibilities. If you think more things can be added here, please add them. And we should, I mean, we should try our best to think through all possible cases. Artem, sorry, you unmuted and wanted to say something.
No, I didn't mean to say anything. Sorry.
No worries. In architectural level threats, if I may move on, given that we have 10 more minutes on the task force call. So giving a quick overview of what I think is architectural threat, and hard correct me if I'm don't get it right, is in a way, let's say some of these projects are designed, right? For instance, I mean, this was even pointed out to me by one of the person or over a LinkedIn chat. The person is from one of the banking firms, and they are using Hyperledger solutions in their Hyperledger project in their solution. And the person pointed out that all the examples that they find on, let's say, in the repository, and in even through, they went through the documentation and the architectural diagrams, but none of them mention what is the data classification information, right? So there are some parameters which are related to implementation that are needed to be considered highly confidential versus confidential, or it's okay to share with others. So when the person pointed out that the project documentation lacks something like that, I started thinking through, hey, probably yes, this is something we can recommend some of these projects, at least if not document, it's not just at least call out them in the architecture diagrams or anything that they write up, right? So that those who go and implement them, they are aware of how to consider some of these parameters. And architectural threats could be anything related to how the project itself is being designed and how it is being presented out. And so some of these you can say, for instance, like, okay, this project follows this particular consensus protocol, but it's, and it is based on some claims and some academic papers, and but that's not I mean, that itself is broken, probably compromised. Somebody found that, hey, this is not the right, I mean, this is not going to provide these guarantees which are claimed. And I don't know if people still do self-invented cryptography, but that's a big risk for sure.
I've seen it many times.
Well, Arun, we've seen it a number. We actually had a bug a few years ago in Indy. It wasn't fully self-invented cryptography, but it was people attempted to extend a scheme for optimization purposes, and their extension ended up breaking it. So they changed it like just very slightly, and they ended up compromising security. We also have seen people use cryptography like inappropriately. I don't know if you all are familiar with like a threshold signature, or a BLS signature rogue public key attack, but that has turned up in a number of different blockchain applications, including in Hyperledger.
At
least in Hyperledger, we haven't seen anyone like try to reinvent like their own AES, for instance, but we have seen people make minor tweaks. And this architectural threat category, you know, there are a lot of like definitions and just using things properly. One of the big things we see is, and I think it's probably on the next page, or maybe not, is privacy and confidentiality. This is this poor definitions thing. So like people say that something is private or confidential and they don't say what it means. And people who use the system infer that it means more than what it actually means. And that becomes a big problem, right? Does that make sense to everybody?
Basically, it's always lack of definition or lack of rigorous definition, let's put it that way, is always a problem. not only in security.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big problem.
Yeah, I know that. Because.
Peter?
So I had one. I'm not sure if it's an entirely new category or if it's one of these, but I was thinking about when management tells the software engineers that backwards compatibility must be kept, but then the stuff that they keep is actually a security hole. And then I was thinking it's an implementation thing because it's the software engineers just typing out the code to make things backward compatible, but they're actually being driven by management. So maybe that's some sort of policy threat or something else. I don't know. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, no. That's a great architectural issue, right? You should add that to the document.
Okay.
Like excessive backwards compatibility or something like that, right? Sorry, guys, for that. My dog is upset.
It's all good. I just need to walk it after the meeting.
I think she just wants a second breakfast, which she's not getting.
Oh, yeah. Well.
It's Friday. It can't be a good...
That's the perfect...
It card made an exception. So Peter, I would assume you will add that to this as a PR.
Yes.
Perfect. Thanks, Peter.
And you guys, feel free to just add, like if you're not like deleting stuff, if you're just adding stuff, just merge your own PRs. You know, we don't need to, we're in an informal stage right now, so just go for it.
So since we are like last 3 minutes of the call, I wanted to also cover what we understand as a, I mean, so that we all understand what implementation threats are. So when we talk about implementation, there can be two aspects, not necessarily that code implementation that we have, but it could also imply the implementation of the project itself. And sure, code implementation is to be covered as well, but we should also try to cover whether project is let's say meeting certain criteria for implementing that project as a solution so that people can start using it. So some of the threats that come under over implementation could covers could have issues such as let's say you can see, for instance, poor memory management and the consensus implementation. So these are low hanging or commonly known issues, but I'm trying to think through a case which is, let's say, for instance, project never provides a way. Sorry. Oops. Okay. So let's say project never provides a mechanism, or let's say project is designed in a way that it is mandating me to share across my keys and probably persist it somewhere, or probably it's like sharing a secret key across two components, a private key across two components, right? Or
can I request one thing? I need to face-to-face meeting after we not issue. Before I had more confused what you that's right. I'm also one human. More problems also have. You just see my phone also. Everything I call, get call, that's money problem have. I have family have. That's why.
I would assume we should move on. How do you want to cover or quickly talk about implementation threats?
I think you did a great job. But yeah, these cover the code issues. You added some other implementation issues. This could also cover deployment issues, as someone pointed out earlier. I think it was Peter, but I could be wrong. And we don't have any like deployment issues, mentioned here. So I think all of these are good topics, and people have suggested some good things today. So I mean, I'd love to see people add them to the document.
Perfect. So the immediate action items are probably adding definitions for the task force for the delivery. I mean, just so that we can put boundary. So that we can put boundary for the task force, and we are all focused on what exactly the expected outcomes are, and continuing adding more threats to each of these sections, and probably adding some definitions to each of these sections. And with that, we are on top of ours. And I will request you to work offline, and let's keep it rolling.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks. I would definitely love it if people did add stuff offline.
I will. Sorry for being slow with the contributions. It's been very hectic.
Yeah, thank you.